and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the book of Ecclesiastes, the first and second chapters. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. If I, the preacher, had been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven, it is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be the master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him who can eat or who can have enjoyment, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give one who pleases God. This is also vanity and a striving after the wind. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the third chapter. Brothers, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the rich things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life,
who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified,
who spake by the prophets.
And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. When I read this morning's text from Ecclesiastes, I was reminded of a book I came across in a second-hand book barn entitled A Life Worth Living. It was a biography of an Australian business tycoon. Big smiling picture of his face on the cover. And it told the story of his rise to wealth. How he worked hard. How he gained achievements. It talked about his genius for making deals. For his daring and courage. and his passion for new projects and opportunities, and how he had earned great admiration and personal glory. But as I paged through that book, getting towards the back, I found that the book also told a different story, a story of his personal tragedy, of his wife's suicide, and of his dramatic fall from glory when he overreached financially into dishonest dealing and was convicted of fraud and found himself in prison, publicly disgraced and bankrupt. He died in 2015. Ironically, his heart, the doctors said, was worn out. Was that true to title of the book, A Life Worth Living? Where did it end? What did it mean? Well, I think of the preacher in Ecclesiastes. He says, vanity of vanity. Or to be more faithful to the original Hebrew text, mist and wind. It's all gone in a moment. There are plenty of stories like it, of course. You only have to watch the daily news cycle to see the same meaningless pattern repeating itself again and again, as the great media stars and billionaires and media idols all vie with one another, and as they try to make their mark on the world, and they find in the end that the world leaves its mark on them. One journalist I was reading recently noted that if you watch the rise and fall of these great media giants over these last decades, you see the same pattern again and again. First of all, they set their hearts on money, and money enables them to buy all the pleasures and the toys they could possibly desire. But what happens is, after a while, the money and the toys just don't give you the same thrill. What happens then? Well, they realise by watching others, they think, well, what I really want is power. And so they gain power. And they begin to influence even policies and public affairs. They begin to become vocal. And they begin to do all sorts of things that gain them power over others. So they think. But after a while, you know what happens? You don't realise that power and control over other people is a complete illusion. It's not really there at all. At this point, sometimes what happens is that they have, if they haven't become too bitter, they have a life-changing insight. They say, aha, it's not all about me. Perhaps I can fulfill my life and do something meaningful. I can make my life worth living if I become a philanthropist, if I give my money away to other people, if I make a difference. And so they give their billions to international organisations for all kinds of charities, health research, education, you name it. Often, though, despite these good intentions, this too proves to be a disappointment. Because often these causes turn out to be ingenuine. They turn out not to be as beneficial to people as they'd hoped, and may even be corrupt too. And as with everything else on earth, it leaves the philanthropist himself feeling that all of his wealth, all of his achievements, everything he's been able to do, his good works, the end, all of that in the end really counts for nothing. as the preacher says, it's all vanity. The end of his glory, the end of his life, the end of all earthly things. And he asks himself, what does it all mean? Who am I? What am I here for? It's all vanity, just mist and wind, gone and forgotten. A life worth living? The preacher of Ecclesiastes says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a chasing after the wind. Now, you and I may not be media giants or billionaires, but I'd suggest to you that in each one of us, in our own limited way, we act out that same drama, that same script in our lives. We may not be so ambitious, so wealthy, or so powerful, but we are still tempted to set our minds on earthly things, to search here in this world for fulfillment, for truth. Achieving something in life is important, right? Having a good work ethic is good, yes. It's good to be practical. It's good to be down to earth, able to get things done. Financial security, reputation, success, service to the community, recognition. But I am guessing that there are some among you in this congregation today who have been reminded that all these earthly things, everything, good as these things are in themselves, cannot and do not last. They may be blown away in a moment. They cannot give your life any real value or lasting meaning or security. And they cannot help you face that last end that we all have to face, our dying. Remember the fool in the parable. He says, oh, at last I can finally rest secure in my possessions. Nope. No rest and security there. Nothing in this earth will give you that. Your grave is waiting. Please step this way. All is mist. All is vanity. It can dissipate in a second, and it often does. Is this kind of life worth living? Of course not. Sorry, says the preacher, it's all useless, it's all pointless. We could think, well, this is a very negative view of life. This preacher is pretty down on the world, isn't he? Yes, it is a dark picture he paints. You could even say, well, this is rather hopeless, rather depressing. But if we want to know the truth, that is truth that lasts, if we want to have real security, if we want to find real life, then we need to face the dark facts about this world and about our own lives. We need to face it in order to turn away from it. In today's reading from Colossians 3, Paul tells us the same truth in different words. Life, he says, is not to be found in those things which are on earth, below. It is to be found in those things which are above, which are in heaven. The way to know fulfillment, security, joy, and peace is not in anything that we can get or achieve or do. It is not about our work ethic or our level of effort. The way to find true peace in your life is not down to earth, but up to heaven. Set your minds, Paul says, on the things that are above, on heavenly things. What does he mean? What heavenly things is he talking about? Well, he talks about three important and beautiful truths here in this reading, these three heavenly things for us to set our minds on. Let's look at the three of them now. Number one, in verses 1 to 3, Paul says something very striking. He says, "You have died and you have been raised with Christ." Now, if you've read Paul's letters a little bit, you may well know and recognize this kind of dying, rising language and what he's talking about. He is talking about a specific event, a specific moment in our lives when we, our old earthly self, our old Adam and Eve, dies and a new being is raised. And of course, that moment is holy baptism. This is Paul's baptismal teaching. If you go back to Colossians chapter 2, you'll find he talks a lot about baptism there because he's introducing what he says here in chapter 3. Life, true fulfillment, true security starts right there. Now, I believe there's a little new person in this congregation, little Tucker. Tucker, you have a date with your destiny. You have a date with your Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bring you into the kingdom and give you life and security that will never end. Isn't that fantastic? I hope you're all here to witness it. I won't be, unfortunately. Somebody will have to send me a picture. Holy baptism. This is not a life that we make worth living. This is a life that Jesus makes worth dying. Baptism is dying and rising. It's powerful. It's mysterious. It's hidden. But it's very, very real. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and there's a dribble of water. But those words, together with that water, are effective and strong. They change your future. They change you forever. Because God is active through those words. The Holy Spirit is working. He is changing your direction, your heart, your mind. He is changing your very identity. After baptism, we are no longer the same person. Not at all. The old sinner has died and a new creature has risen up with Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins, past, present, and future. The benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection become ours personally. We receive eternal life, a new heart, a new mind, a new will. All gifts from God's pure grace. And as we live in this baptism day after day, and as we come to divine service, as we receive and believe this word, as we receive and believe and trust in Jesus, as he comes to us with his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, this heavenly life, these heavenly things, become ours in a stronger and stronger and deeper way. We are renewed and strengthened in our baptismal life. Set your minds on heavenly things. They are not mist and wind. They remain and they last forever. Secondly, Paul says in verse 4, when Christ appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Throughout our lives, the world and our own flesh and the devil himself make us long for our own glory, for our own sense of worth. We need to show that we matter. We need to show that we have things that are worthwhile, that we are good people, that we have abilities, that we can succeed, that we deserve love. We need to show that we can live a life worth living or die trying to do that. Jesus changes all that. He sets us free from our quest for glory. Because you and I can never live a life that is worth living. We are sinful, broken people. And everything we do is tainted with that. Every time we try to fix this, we rise above it. We just make things worse. But remember what Paul says in the verse before this. You have died. You have died that death worth dying because it brings to you a life that will never end. As Christ's own baptized child, you are raised a new creature. You are, Paul says, listen to these beautiful words in verse 3. Hidden in God with Christ. What has happened? God the Father has taken you and hidden you inside his own heart, along with his own beloved Son. All because of what Jesus has done for you. That is to be God's dear child. That is your worth. That is your true glory. That is your true value. Not that the world values you, but that God loves you and values you. What could be greater glory than that? That's why you're here. And that's why Jesus died and rose for you. You do not need to manufacture your own glory because you share in a greater glory, the glory of Christ. I notice on top of your altar there's a crown. The crown is over the cross. Beautiful symbolism. Meditate on that when you come to the Lord's Supper today. When he appears on the last day, he'll be wearing a crown of glory, and so will you. And you will appear with him and you will share his glory. The glory that only God can give you. As Paul says back in verse 1, in baptism we are raised with Christ and we are with Christ as he sits at God's right hand in glory. So this is not vanity. This is not mist. This is the eternal glory of God. It is at work in you even now. Every day. This is the second heavenly thing which Paul gives you to set your heart on in this text. Number 3. Paul calls us into living in this baptized life as reborn people who share in the glory of Christ. The way Paul expresses this here in this reading, as you reread it, shows us that we are no longer merely ourselves, but we are people in Christ. When you read Paul's letters, you find this word, this little expression everywhere, in Christ. We are more ourselves than we can ever be in this world when we are in Christ. We are part of him, and he is all of us. He has given us each a self which shares in his self. We are alive not with our own life anymore, but with his life. We are driven not by our own desires and our own wishes and purposes, but by his desires and wishes. We are not pursuing our own will, but his will. We are not fired with our own love anymore, but with love from above, love from him. In verses 5 to 11, Paul talks about the things then that we need to leave behind. The earthbound things, the things that are below, the things that we fall into when we try to live our life and make it worth living. We seek after pleasure and anger, we indulge in greed and hatred and pride. We follow our old nature, grasping for something real and true in this world and finding only mist and vanity. All that is gone, and we leave it behind. We thought that old life was worth living, but we were wrong. It had to die in Christ and rise in Christ. Because then you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. You have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in him. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Bless especially Pastor Ed Schneefloke, his wife Kathy, and the saints of Christ Lutheran Church in Troy, New Hampshire. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy, bestow your grace on all nations of the earth and bring an end to violence and terror. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. Lord, in your mercy. Watch over and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Meg, Rachel, and Stephanie. Give them and their families great joy at the time of birth. And continue to keep in your care Seth and Rachel, Samson and baby Tucker. And bring him soon to your precious gift in the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Look with mercy upon Oliver during his surgery, Hope as she awaits surgery, Joyce in her upcoming appointments, Anita in her rehabilitation, as well as Gwen, Rick, Carol, John, Blair, Bobby and Carol, Katie, and Heather and Mike. Give your peace to all who mourn, especially to Larry and his family. Comfort them with the hope of eternal life in Christ and the resurrection to come on the last day. We also give thanks for being with Tamis through her recovery, and now grant continued healing and strength as she resumes care for her mother, Georgia. Lord, in your mercy. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. For you have governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you. the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 119, starting at the 97th verse. This is a psalm of comfort. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Oh, how I love your law. It is to my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for you, your testimonies, are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your just decrees, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. How sweet your words are to my taste, sweeter than the honey to my mouth."
of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.